I've got to give Adam Silver in the NBA credit this morning. I'm not a fan of all-star games in any sport. I mentioned this the other day when talking about the dunk contest that happened Saturday night. The Pro Bowl in the NFL is the worst of all the all-star games. It's the equivalent of watching XFL football. The Pro Bowl actually may be worse than watching the XFL. The Senior Bowl in college football is the very definition of boring. The game is meaningless. NFL scouts leave town Friday afternoon before the game is even played on Saturday. No one watches Major League Baseball, so their All-Star game is as meaningless as their regular season. NBA All-Star weekend is usually a snooze fest, something that you can afford to miss. It's one of my least favorite sports weekends of the year. The NFL's just ended. The NBA regular season is actually beginning to get exciting as teams are pushing for the playoffs. And the league takes a fucking week off in the middle of February every year for the All-Star break. But this year, All-Star weekend in Chicago was phenomenal. I thought it was highly entertaining the entire weekend. The dunk contest Saturday night was the best that it's been in years. Even though the wrong guy won and Aaron Gordon got screwed, and the judging put a stain on the legitimacy of the contest, it was still entertaining. Even the national anthem for the All-Star game was entertaining, for all the wrong reasons. Chaka Khan completely butchered the national anthem. I don't understand these celebrities that come on these big stages and sing the national anthem. Just sing the damn song. That's it. That's all we want. Just sing the song. We don't need all the extras. We don't need all the theatrics. We don't need you tweaking the national anthem into what you think it should be. Chaka Khan twisted the national anthem into her own rendition of what she thought it was supposed to be. And it was molting hot garbage. It was trash. I was pleasantly surprised at how competitive the All-Star game itself was. Usually the NBA All-Star game is equivalent to a shoot-around or a practice, a scrimmage. But players on both teams were playing hard throughout, especially in the fourth quarter. This game was more competitive than some regular season games. The game was decided in the final seconds on a free throw by Anthony Davis. It was a close competitive game. AD told the media after the game that it felt like he was playing in a playoff game. The crowd was electric from the opening tip to the final buzzer. The format changes to the All-Star game obviously worked. The score was 0-0 at the start of every quarter, except the fourth. Both Team LeBron and Team Giannis were playing for scholarship money for kids going to college, so whichever team won the quarter, their team won the scholarship money. I believe it was about $100,000. The fourth quarter was untimed. First team to 157 was the winner. It was only fitting, with the game being in Chicago, that hometown kid Anthony Davis won the game. The only problem that I had with the new format, it didn't allow for buzzer beaters. The game ended on a fucking free throw by Anthony Davis. But even if there were a game-winning shot, which a couple of were attempted, it just doesn't feel the same without a running clock. The All-Star game was pretty much a 3-4 hour tribute to the legacy of Kobe Bryant. I thought all of the speeches and the tributes were great, but by far the best one was the video tribute package and music produced by Dr. Dre. He created an original beat to go along with the video. The video was a 2 or 3 minute peek into the life and career of Kobe Bryant, started from his high school days, going all the way through his NBA career. It was really, really well done. All in all, I thought it was a hugely successful weekend for the NBA. I would even say that this was the best All-Star weekend ever, at least in my lifetime, in any professional sports league. It was that good. The NBA really, really needed a weekend like this. Ratings have been down double digits all season. The whole situation with China has kind of put a black eye on the league. Hopefully, after this weekend, there will be renewed interest in the NBA to close out the regular season. Because the second half of the season should be really good. You've got the chase for the number 8 seed in the Western Conference. You got Denver and the Clippers trying to steal the number 1 seed away from the Lakers. Even the Eastern Conference should be compelling to close out the season. Milwaukee should run away with the 1 seed, but the drama going on in Philadelphia surrounding the future of Joel Embiid, Toronto shocking everyone by being 40-15 in the number 2 seed without Kawhi Leonard, the Celtics proving that they didn't need Kyrie Irving. The playoffs should be really, really good this year. Should be a good spring for the NBA. All right, Behind the Line, episode 51. I'm your host, KC. You can follow me on Twitter at KC_BTL84. Hit the like and subscribe button on YouTube. Make sure to click that notification bell to receive all notifications from the channel. Leave me a 5-star rating on iTunes. I appreciate those. I've already done so. Appreciate the support. Myles Garrett was reinstated by Roger Goodell last week. Far too soon, in my opinion. Being suspended for less than half the season for hitting Mason Rudolph with his helmet, which is assault and battery, is far too lenient, in my opinion. Myles Garrett is sticking to his claim that Mason Rudolph called him the N-word, a claim that no one else on the field can corroborate. A claim that wasn't revealed until his meeting with the league office. You would think that if that was the reason he hit Mason Rudolph with his helmet, then he would have come out immediately and made that accusation right after the game. But nope. He waited a week, which leads me to believe it's not true. Makes me believe that it's something that was thought of after the fact to try to justify his actions. I feel like Roger Goodell folded to political pressure with this whole Myles Garrett situation. Anytime a minority plays the race card, especially when a white guy is pretty much holding power over the situation, then the situation becomes a bit tricky. But it's not only Roger Goodell. ESPN is going all in on this belief that Mason Rudolph called Myles Garrett a racial slur without any fucking proof. I don't know when ESPN's going to learn that they're a sports network, not a political network. The only thing more aggravating than the Garrett-Rudolph situation itself is ESPN's reaction to it. Outside the Lines over the weekend covered the entire situation. I usually don't watch Outside the Lines, but I had a little time this weekend in between all the Mardi Gras shit I had going on, so I decided to watch this particular episode. The main reason that I wanted to see this, I wanted to see how ESPN was going to present it. Would they be fair to both Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph, or would the coverage be one-sided? In particular, I really wanted to see what ESPN said about the alleged use of a racial slur by Mason Rudolph, supposedly igniting the entire situation, causing Myles Garrett to hit him with his helmet. And as I expected, it was a complete hatchet job by ESPN. It was one-sided. It was biased. If I were Mason Rudolph and the Pittsburgh Steelers, I would be pissed off. This was some of the worst journalism that I have ever seen. And that is saying something considering how pathetic the mainstream media is in this country today. They interviewed Myles Garrett and he stuck to his claim that Mason Rudolph called him a stupid N-word. Now, naturally, you would expect a follow-up question. Something like, why the fuck didn't you come out with this accusation immediately? Instead of waiting a fucking week to say something about it. There wasn't any follow-up by ESPN. They just let it slide. Myles Garrett went on to claim that the NFL was burying the audio, which would prove his accusation to be true. I'm not buying it. Not in today's world, where nothing is hidden anymore. If the audio existed, somebody in the NFL office would leak it. The real problem I had with the program, though, was the panel discussion that was shown after the Myles Garrett interview. It was a complete burial of Mason Rudolph and the Pittsburgh Steelers. No one ever asked about the possibility that Myles Garrett could be making this shit up, which is what I believe to be true. Instead, the entire panel assumed that what Myles Garrett is saying about Mason Rudolph is true. With zero evidence, none. It's been 3 months, and not one shred of evidence has been found that Rudolph called Myles Garrett a racial slur. ESPN's Ryan Smith had the audacity to tell us that we should believe Garrett because he doesn't seem like the type of person that would make something like this up. That's true journalism right there. Let's just believe it because he said it. We don't need to corroborate anything. Credit to Mike Tomlin and the Steelers organization for having Mason Rudolph's back. The guy might not be a great quarterback. Actually, he sucks at quarterback. But he doesn't deserve this type of slander from a guy that's trying to minimize his actions and get back on the football field as soon as possible. Mike Tomlin appeared on First Take Monday morning and ripped ESPN for being unfair to Mason Rudolph. This is why Mike Tomlin is one of my favorite coaches in the NFL. The guy made it a point to go on national television and defend his backup quarterback. Though, if I were him, if I were Mike Tomlin, I would have went on FS1 to defend him instead of going on ESPN. I wouldn't have given ESPN the ratings after they slandered your organization. This was a hit piece by ESPN. It was embarrassing. It doesn't take a genius to figure out that Myles Garrett's full of shit. You mean to tell me that out of all the people on that football field, all the Steelers players, all the Browns players, referees, coaching staffs of each team, that Myles Garrett is the only person that heard Mason Rudolph call him the N-word? I'm supposed to believe that? What the fuck did he do? Did he whisper in his ear while he was getting smacked in the face with a helmet? It doesn't make any fucking sense whatsoever. We've got the technology today to hear a snake fart in Africa from 5,000 miles away. Yet you expect me to believe that Mason Rudolph called you this and no one heard it. This is why people have completely given up on ESPN. I used to watch ESPN religiously, but the last few years, I find myself watching less and less. It started for me with Jemele Hill, who has turned into a professional race baiter. She turned SportsCenter and every other show she was on into a discussion on race in America. Now, she's no longer with ESPN, but if you want to catch her ignorance, all you got to do is log into her Twitter account. At some point, ESPN needs to realize that they're a sports network, not a political network. Sports and politics don't mix. All right, moving on. The rumors surrounding the future of Tom Brady continued over the weekend. Now we're seeing reports that the Oakland Raiders are prepared to offer him a 2-year contract worth $60 million, which would mean Tom Brady would be 1 year shy of playing quarterback at 45 years old, should he sign with Oakland. Las Vegas. It's going to be a while before I get used to calling them the Las Vegas Raiders. It just doesn't have the same ring to it as the Oakland Raiders. Anyway, I believe 100% that Tom Brady has played his last game in New England, but there isn't a chance in hell that he ends up in a Raiders uniform this offseason. I've told you before on this podcast, at this stage in his career, Tom Brady's going to sign somewhere that's ready to contend for a Super Bowl immediately. He's going to sign to an organization that is organized, has good ownership, is ready to win, has a great head coach. None of that describes the fucking Raiders. The Raiders are a clusterfuck, rivaled only by the Bungles and the Cleveland Browns as the worst franchises in the NFL. Owner Mark Davis is clueless. John Gruden isn't what I would call a great head coach. There wasn't an all-pro on this roster last season. They had two Pro Bowlers on the offensive line, but they don't have any weapons offensively that would entice Tom Brady to come and save this franchise. It makes all the sense in the world from the Raiders' perspective to go after Tom Brady. I mean, they're starting in a new city. They need to make a splash in Las Vegas. I understand why they would want to go after him. But he would have to be out of his fucking mind to join this franchise. Imagine the culture shock going from an organization like the Patriots to the Raiders. It'd be the equivalent of being raised and spending your life on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan and then moving to a place like Des Moines, Iowa. The fact of the matter is, there are too many other teams that are way more enticing. The Raiders could offer Tom Brady all the money they want. It wouldn't change a thing. Tom Brady's a millionaire 100 times over. Money is not going to be the thing that draws him in. He's playing the next 1-2 years of his career to prove that he can win a Super Bowl without Bill Belichick. Other teams can offer him that chance that are ready and built to win now. We've talked about them at length on this podcast the past month. The Chargers, the Cowboys, Dallas has got a good roster. They just need a quarterback to lead them. A team like Tampa. Can you imagine how prolific that offense would be in Tampa? Tom Brady surrounded by Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, the best wide receiver duo in the NFL. They'd be unstoppable. Tampa's got $79 million in cap space, so paying Tom Brady would not be a problem. I'm not buying this whole Tom Brady going to the Raiders. It's just not happening. All right, switching gears to the XFL. Week 2 of XFL football wrapped up this past weekend, and I'll be perfectly honest with you. I didn't watch a single play. I'm so tired of the networks trying to sell me on this league. The XFL is exciting. It's better players than college football. Just stop. Quit. Just because they're being paid doesn't mean XFL players are better than college football players. Are some of them a select few? Sure, I'm sure they are. But there are many college football players that will be playing football on Sundays in the real football league in this country. I can't say that about anyone in the XFL. Vince McMahon and the XFL have got several problems. Problems that I don't think they're going to be able to overcome. Number one, we already have minor league football in this country. It's called college football. Number two, the quarterback play in the XFL is god-awful. And there isn't a solution to that problem. The XFL will never have elite-level quarterbacks. Those guys will be in the NFL. Not even all 32 NFL teams have great quarterbacks. Look at the Pittsburgh Steelers last year. They had two guys in Mason Rudolph and Devlin Hodges that had no business being on an NFL field. The quarterbacks in the XFL are scrubs. They're scrubs. They just are. There's no other way to describe it. Bad quarterback play ruins a football game. It eliminates big plays. It slows the game down. If you don't have strong quarterback play, then you're not going to have star players. You don't have guys that you can market to the public. Look at all 32 NFL teams. Who's the star player on each team? The quarterback. In most cases, if the team doesn't have a great quarterback and he's not a star, that team's not winning. We also had another empty stadium in the XFL this past weekend. Unsurprisingly, it was in Los Angeles. It looked more like a sparsely attended funeral than a football game. I don't know who in the XFL thought putting a team in LA was a good idea. Los Angeles doesn't support the two fucking NFL teams that they have. So what makes you think that people in LA are going to go out on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon in the spring and pay to watch second-rate football? I haven't seen the television ratings for the XFL from week two, which I kind of find interesting. Last week, the ratings were released by Monday. This week, it's silence. I would imagine that there's going to be a steep drop-off in the ratings from week one to week two. I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. The XFL is not going to work. Eventually, the broadcast networks are going to turn against it. They've got about two more weeks to hook people into this league. Because what we've seen so far isn't convincing anyone to continue to watch. Once we hit March, it's all over but the crying for Vince McMahon and the XFL. This league is not competing with March Madness and the end of the NBA regular season. All right, that's all for today, guys. Hit the like and subscribe button on YouTube. Click that notification bell to receive all notifications from the channel. Leave me a 5-star rating on iTunes. Leave me a comment in the section below. Let me know what you think of the podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at KC_BTL84. I'll be back later on this week. Have a good week.